Pull up a chair and let's talk some football. Gentlemen, next week is the NFL draft, and most mocks have one defensive player going in the top 10. Now, this would be the fewest in the last 30 years. The closest we've had is two, and that's been in, what, 2021 and 1995. Trip, do you think we get a second player in the top 10?
I don't. I think the teams want to build on offense. I don't think that there are special players in this draft. I think one of the big issues is, are these edges top 10 players, Jared Verse and Dallas Turner in particular. And I just wouldn't be surprised if they both slid out, to be honest with you. It does seem like folks like cornerbacks. I could see somebody taking, moving up a little bit there. But by and large, I think that that's the right call, that the answer is one.
One. What about you, Joe?
I think zero. I don't think one does go in the top 10. Either Atlanta doing something silly or trading back makes more sense for them. And I think there's one top player in this class on defense. I know that's not consensus, but he's not at a position of need in linebacker. So I don't see it happening. I think it makes, if there's one, it's probably a Quinion Mitchell or Dallas Turner, but I don't think it happens in the end. Two would be a major shock, I think. Mm-hmm.
Jameson, buck the trend?
I think there's potential for two. I would say Atlanta at 8 and Chicago at 9 with Matt Eberflus. The second half of the year, Bears defense was kind of humming a little bit with Montez Sweat. If they want to build there, but I also think they can get a wide receiver. Keenan Allen's older. I know they've probably got him for a year or two, but with the three top-end wide receivers, it wouldn't be surprised. I can see him also trade back. So, Dallas Turner seems – a lot of people have mocked him to Atlanta at 8. I don't think that's concrete. Latu, I like a lot personally, if the medical is clear for him. And then Byron Murphy as well. I think somebody that Daniel Jeremiah talked about being a little bit up on the boards compared to what, Twitter world fantasy football says. But I think there's possibility for two.
All right. So we have a zero, a one, and a two.
I will say, I do agree that if there is one, I do think it's going to be Murphy, not Turner.
Interesting. Well, gentlemen, you may have noticed that tonight we welcome back our returning champion, Trip Bremner. Now, besides being a writer and ranker for Football Guys, congratulations, fantastic. Trip has always been my go-to for all defensive back information. I was actually telling Joe and Jameson before you came on, Trip, how, like, I would ask every week we did a podcast together for, like, my defensive starters, and you were always on the nose with them. So I'm looking forward, because by some divine providence, tonight we are conducting a one-round defensive back-only rookie mock draft. What perfect timing, Trip. How are you doing, buddy?
Doing well, man. It's good to see you again, JJ. I'm glad to be back. It's very kind to call me the defending champion here. I thought for sure you had one of these other two gentlemen queued up for that one. So,
listen, I keep that one in my back pocket for you. You are always the returning champion, man. Always. All right, Ed, if you want to be a champion, you want to get a jump on your competition for drafts, our comprehensive 2024 IDP Plus Rookie Guide is here. Get your copy for a limited time for only $9.99. Receive updates every Friday as the NFL draft draws near, and it is near. And check out the link in the show description and download your copy today. Gentlemen, as always, we let our guest pick first. Trip, where are you going for the first overall defensive back in this rookie class?
Well, I tell you, I might do something which is a little bit like Joseph said a second ago. I might surprise people with my first overall pick of IDP and DB. So I kind of like Joseph's call about Byron Murphy being the top defensive player overall. I had him as my top IDP in the Football Guys staff draft. And I think some people looked at that and think, all right, yeah, that guy's off. Let's just move on. So So I'm in sync on that call. So my first overall DB off the board is another guy that's probably a little bit of a contrarian take, and that it's Jaden Hicks, the defensive back from Washington State. He's a 6'2", 200-pound redshirt sophomore coming into the draft here. He has good athleticism, is like about a 9 in the relative athletic score scale that Kent Lee Platt has at MathBomb on Twitter. And the guy checked out in the 40-yard dash time with like a 4.5 40 and his size. That's good speed, a good instinct to playmaker. It shows the room for a lot of growth too as a young player, and he's that size that you want. There's some of these safeties that are coming out, you expect them to be split safeties. They're just really not big enough to make an impact in the box, and now landing spot is going to be very important, as we all know, for safeties. But prior to knowing those landing spots, I'm going to take a guy that I think can go in the third round. So it is going to be a bit of a reach in the sense that you're going to have to look past other defensive backs that are drafted ahead of him in order to grab him. But I think he'll be a good value assuming he does get into that third NFL real world third round landscape, then he could slide into a very productive spot and be an impact player with the size and athleticism that he has and the room for growth as a young player.
I love that pick. Joseph, you reacted a little surprisingly to that.
Jaden Hicks is the clear deep one in this class, in my opinion. And he's going top 50, more likely than not, Trip. I don't follow a lot of Dane Brugler, Daniel Jeremiah's yet. The top guys, he's more likely to be top 50 than third round. I have him on my overall big board at 35, and I wish I could have him higher. He's awesome. I think he's the clear top guy. Wow. Though there still could be some drafted above him, but I'm fully on board with you there. Don't even think the Byron Murphy take you had is crazy, especially in a DT league.
I just need to get out more, apparently. I don't read enough mock drafts. So.
We all need to get out more, especially at this time of the year.
Amen to that.
Well,
so I'm also going to sorry, JJ, cut you off.
No, I was just going to say, go ahead. You're right.
I'm also going to go off board a little bit. Someone who, this person, you're definitely going to have to overlook some other safeties taken higher. I'm probably the best name among safeties, though, and that is Malik Mustafa out of Wake Forest. Player who I absolutely adore. He is my third overall safety for real football, second for fantasy with his, he's pretty much a box-only safety. This dude will hit you in the mouth. He'll knock your head off. He's the best tackler in the class at the position. And yeah, he decent enough in the pass game where he can stay on the field every time, every snap of the game. He reminds me of a budget Buda Baker. Jordan Whitehead is another comp I saw. That quarters defense, rove over the middle of the field. Yeah, can take your head off. Ball production hasn't been great, which is a concern, but that's not the thing that I really look for. And defensive backs really want those tackle numbers and really think he can be a pretty good one. His testing numbers are fine. His relative athletic score was 9.28, which was less off, which is more off the jumps than anything. So, which explosion is good, but yeah, love Mustafa. Think he will be a third round pick in the end for the real draft, but someone who I'm definitely going to be having a lot of shares of.
Mustafa. Trip, any thoughts on Malik?
Well, that's an interesting pick. He's a guy that I had by top 10. A very interesting pick for sure. The athleticism is there. The nose for the football is there. The willingness to come in and hit's there. Mix it up in the middle. So I like all that. I guess my concern is how highly is he drafted and how quickly does he become a full-time player?
Landing spot. All right, Jameson, you're up next.
I feel like I'm going a different route here, but I'm glad I got my guy. I'm going to go Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo. I think this is probably the best out of the class, just as far as I think. You know, first team All-MAC. Led the FBS with 25 passes defended, and National Player of the Week. He had 4 interceptions, with 2 of them being two pick sixes. So just really versatile. Just looks like a bull in a china shop. I mean, he's ideal size. The athletic score just off the charts. And I think for him, you know, he's just very smooth, very physical, and he's also very aggressive, obviously, with the turnovers. And as far as landing spot, as far as the entire first round, I do not think there's a more match made in heaven than Mitchell to the Indianapolis Colts. I think he would fit perfectly with Gus Bradley. Last year, he played a lot of cover 3. It's what Gus Bradley runs. It just, and as far as Chris Ballard go, he always picks. He's athletic. They score real high. If you looked at his last year's draft, it was all just athletic studs. So I just don't think there's anything. The perfect puzzle piece, you know, they pick him there. Even if they wanted to trade back a couple picks, see if somebody goes, gets one of these offensive tackles, one of the wide receivers that might have fallen. He does his trade back like he always does. He still gets his guy. I just don't think there's a better fit than Mitchell to the Colts. So really like him. He's my top guy here.
As a Colts fan, please.
Now, as far as IDP production, is Quinyon Mitchell Tripp a corner who you think can put up solid numbers?
Well, yeah, you got to like the lead in the nation and passes defense, right? You want ball skills if you want the quarterback. So that's an interesting piece there. So if you're in a big play league, and then those can pile up quickly. No safety can match those kind of numbers. So that's certainly attractive, and you get a, you know, likelihood of being drafted in the early top and early first part of Thursday. You know he's going to step in and play full time right away, and that's probably one of the most important things for a DB. It's really hard to have a DB on an IDP roster and having him sit there occupying a spot and not able to play, unless you're in a particularly deep league. So that's attractive as well.
All right, Tripp. Well, you are up next at number four.
Well, you all just have to tell me whether or not this is a reach. I'll just go ahead and say the name. That's Cole Bishop, the safety out of Utah. I will be always picking safeties ahead of cornerbacks. So I like those tackle numbers. But this guy led all comers in the relative athletic score testing. And I like him. He is another guy that's good size. The premium athleticism. I like what he was able to do at Utah. And he's a guy that can play all over the field. He could do whatever you ask him to. He could play deep if you need him to. I think he's a guy that, again, he's obviously not going to get drafted in the first round. I don't think any safety will, unless we're counting Nichols. So I'm expecting that, you know, again, he's a guy you need to watch. You need to make sure he gets the draft capital. I think he will. I do think he's a day two guy. And I do think he comes in and has the experience to come in and play early in his career. And so he's a guy that I like and would be taken second in my safety rankings.
Now, Joe, did you have some questions about Bishop?
Yeah. So I feel like every draft cycle, there's one or two guys who, at least for me, I just cannot get my head around. Bishop is that one for me this year. Like, I watched film on him, and I initially put like a sixth round grade on him, and then see like Dane Brugler has him as safety two, Ben Solak safety one, then other guys like Nate Tice also has him in his top 60 players, then other guys, DJ, Zerline, don't have him in their top 70 or whatever. And it's like, he seems super polarizing, someone I really struggle with. And it's like, I feel like I have blinders on somewhere and I'm obviously missing something. So just wondering more what you were seeing from him. Like, I didn't see great tackling, but then that's a plus I see in a lot of boards. So I'm just really curious on him.
It's just an inconsistent player for sure. Right. I mean, he's, you know, that's certainly fair. So, missed tackles is an interesting thing for me. It's like, why are they missing tackles? It's almost like drop passes, right? Is that something that's fixable? Should we be thinking that the guy, he had a lot of drops as a young man, he's always going to drop passes? And you know, this was like an issue for Deontay Johnson, right? And there are some folks in the fantasy community who say, just ignore that. It tends to fix itself. And so there are some players that just never get the form right. But sometimes that has to do with build. When you see a guy with this level of athleticism, I think you can coach him up. And I think he can make him a better tackler.
Yeah, definitely one I'm willing to be wrong on. It's just, it seems like he's super polarizing throughout, and like, agreed for that. Need to go back at him and look. But and Jim Nagy said that, director of the Senior Bowl, said he's not getting out of the top the second round. So it's also super interesting. So
very good. All right, Joe, where are you going with the fifth pick?
Where am I going? I am going to go a little bit across the river from where I live in Omaha over to Iowa with Cooper Jean. This is super interesting player. Could he survive on the boundary? I think he could, but he might be best as a slot corner, free safety, box safety. He's someone who I think can really play anywhere. That relative athletic score, 9.85 for him. Like, again, on a scale of 10, his speed is great. His jumps were awesome. He's an athletic freak. I think he's been on Bruce Feldman's freak list multiple times. Ball production's pretty good. 20 pass breakups, 7 picks with 3 touchdowns in the 2 years. And he's also an elite return man. He's probably the best returner in the punt returner in the class. And maybe now with the new kickoff rules could add some juice there. Really good tackler. It's a lot of it's going to be, he's going in the first round, but where does he end up being drafted to play? Like, is he going to the Colts and is going to be just a cover three outside corner, which will hurt that value a little bit? Or is he going to go somewhere where he's going to be the slot corner? Like, is he going to go to Seattle and just be running around taking people's heads off? It's a risky pick, but I think he reminds me a lot of Tyrann Mathieu, just a lot bigger, a little less dynamic, which, I mean, who isn't less dynamic than Prime Honey Badger? But risky pick here, but I think upside, I don't know how many guys have more upside for the NFL or for IDP.
I was going to say, just real quick, I know I listened to Greg Cosell, I think it was yesterday, and he said he thought he saw DeJean Moore as a safety. Just because of how much of a ball hawk he ends up being. He ends up kind of, I don't want to compare him profile-wise to Dax Hill in Cincinnati, but they've drafted him, and they've kind of had a tough time trying to figure out the actual piece that he is in the defense. He played him at slot corner. They've tried to play him at safety, and they've kind of mixed around. I think, you know, landing spot is always huge, but especially for a guy like this, because it's not a specified role. He can do a little bit of everything, but at the NFL, most of the time you're doing – you know, one thing and you're getting stuck there. So I think it's going to take somebody who wants to try to find a place for him and, you know, make it happen, because the athletic stuff's off the charts with them.
Tripp, where do you think he ends up playing?
I think he's a nickel in a too high system. And I think that was what makes him interesting from IDP. Does he get a cornerback designation if you're playing five position IDP? That's a possibility, and which makes him pretty interesting. I think that y'all's point about the one position is an interesting one, right? So if a team, he could, to use an extreme example, be like Isaiah Simmons, and they're not sure what to do with him. They say he's got to start at this one position, and therefore he's got to learn that position to get on the field. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but that's kind of a worst case scenario. And so you get a different team that has a plan for him. Like, I never felt like the Cardinals had a plan for Simmons when they took him. They just seemed to take him because he was there and he was a highly rated player. And I think of a team with a plan targets this guy and gets him on the field, they may be able to put him into a role that really makes a lot of sense. You know, so the position flexibility is so interesting, is where we are in the NFL with so many teams playing too high. You know, I think to a guy like Minkah Fitzpatrick, who goes into the Dolphins with half a dozen years ago and can't seem to find his comfort zone. He goes to the Steelers in more of a one high system, and he's real comfortable and is playing really well. And you could see this Cooper DeJean playing in a similar type of a problem if he doesn't land in the right spot. But I like the fact that, yeah, I agree. He's certainly I think he's a top 20 NFL pick. And as such, I think he is a high opportunity to play a lot of snaps early. You know, if he falls more down to 30, 31, then you're in Dax Hill territory and you have that problem like you mentioned. So that's worth watching there too. You know, if he's a guy that's just barely hanging on to the first round, then that raises more questions. But as long as the top 20 pick, picked by a team that has a plan to use him, then I think this is a real solid pick for IDP. I don't know how much upside it has if you're in a three position situation. I don't think that's to be determined, in part because of, you know, safety versus cornerback. And I don't think that the nickelback role is as productive as a box safety. That said, there are just not that many box safeties anymore. So many teams playing too high. So therefore, I think he's worth the bet here. What were you on the 6 DB overall? Yeah, he's a slam dunk as a 6 DB overall.
So, question for you. And I sometimes get confused when people talk about safeties and alignments, and I know people who listened like are always looking for a little more clarification. So you said that a lot of teams are now switching to the too high. And I know that's what, if I'm not mistaken, people were trying to do against Pat Mahomes to slow down these high paced offenses. Yep. Trip. Mm-hmm. What is your ideal alignment for you to draft a safety? Where do you want to see him lined up?
Yeah, I want to see him draft into a one high system similar to what Gus Bradley does. And you saw Julian Blackman, who was never a special player, comes in as highly productive for the time that he was healthy last year. And that's the kind of situation it doesn't even matter who the Colts take. If they take a safety in day two, you draft that guy as early as you can, because that's going to be a smash. And so there with that. And the other thing that's important too is there are still some teams that are playing some one high, but they will use their safeties interchangeably, which tends to dampen their value again. So there's not that many teams that are playing a a dedicated deep safety, and therefore leaving a lot of closer to line of scrimmage snaps for that other safety. There may be a half a dozen I could think of that are really interesting landing spots right now, and a couple of them could use a guy, so that, you know, that's good. But it's really low. The pendulum has really swung away from where it was 8 or 9 years ago, when the back in 2016, 2018 timeframe, you had an awful lot of teams playing cover three, an awful lot of teams that had that dedicated single high guy, and therefore that box safety was almost easy to predict. I mean, there was James Betcher. Whoever James Betcher put at safety, didn't matter who it was, you could just put in, you know, the guy's name was it Tyvon Branch, right? He was a cornerback at one point. They put him at strong safety. He's piling up numbers in 2017. And you just don't have that kind of a gold mine anymore. It's used to be able to get these safety ones as free squares, and that's harder to do now.
Interesting. So when you're looking at drafting in an IDP draft, you're looking just as much at the defensive coordinator as you are the player.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yep. You can get a guy that can get stuck in a system that's is just unlikely to be productive, you know. And if you get a guy that's stuck in one of these soft, too high systems, it's really hard to bet on those guys. That doesn't mean that's a lock. I mean, there are guys and there are some safeties in too high systems that end up being productive from an IDP standpoint. But by and large, unless the guy is a special player for some reason, it's probably not going to be in my draft board. I mean, one of the things we have really kind of sized up just macro level on this draft is that I really don't like it overall for fantasy. You don't have a first round guy. There's no Kyle Hamilton type of guy. The earliest true safety to come off the board, you know, it could be well in around two. I could be wrong about that. We talked about early on about Jaden Hicks, but you know, it could be a while before you see a real safety drafted. And it's just, and if none of them are landing in prime spots, it's just like, you just kind of got to let them slide. I think. Yes. So I think you'd be unwise, for example, to leave any linebacker draft in the day two on the board before he took a safety.
Okay. That's good strategy. That's good to know. All right, Jameson, number six, where are we going?
Well, I'm going to go stick with my cornerbacks. It seems like that's my favorite. So Terrion Arnold from Alabama, him and his partner in crime, Kool-Aid McKinstry, both played in the back end, both did very well last year. Arnold, first team, all SEC, all American as well. Sixth in college football with 5 interceptions. And then tied for fifth with 17 passes broken up. So he's going to fit mostly as a man corner. He's got great athleticism. He's got great top end speed and also has really good burst, so he can kind of close in on plays. And he's also aggressive with a lot of these corners. I think I will always lean to more aggressive, where Kool-Aid McKinstry is more not as aggressive. You know, he's just kind of plain, where, you know, Arnold, he's going to get after it. The only thing is his size. He's pretty average size-wise as far as cornerbacks go, and then he kind of gets lost at times. But he's not as consistent, but this is more of the higher upside play. So that's where I'm going to go with Arnold here.
Now, Tripp, he seems to rely on athleticism a bit too much. He's an amazing athlete and can recover. Are you worried at all about how that might translate?
A little bit. I mean,
are you there, buddy?
I hear an ad.
You came back there.
You're hearing an ad play?
Yeah.
You might have another window open.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it must have been another window. I apologize. But, yeah.
Oh, either that or the robots are in your head.
Yeah, that could be. I could be just going crazy here. So I apologize for that. No, Terrion Arnold, what I was going to say about Terrion Arnold, it really applies to all corners. I think landing spot is, again, important. And if you give Terrion Arnold in a situation where he's in an aggressive defense, where they're asking him to deny the football to receivers, then that's interesting. You know, if you get him into one of these softer conservative defenses, then, you know, I don't know why they would take him exactly. It doesn't fit that well, but, you know, it would be a concern. Terrion, he doesn't really have the length that I like if I'm looking for a fantasy corner. I really do like those guys that are 6'2", long arms that really can pry the ball loose. So he doesn't quite fit that for me. It's a similar story in Quinion Mitchell, who's not a whole lot bigger, is that, you know, you got a guy that's drafted early, pretty likely to, you know, I do think he's a top 20 pick. He's pretty likely to be, you know, early playing time candidate, high volume snaps right away. And you really can't ask for much more than that sometimes when you're looking at corners.
To add on to that, I do think with Quinion, there's no chance he's in the slot. He's just an outside man guy or outside cover three, whatever. Terrion Arnold, he did a lot of work out of the slot this year, covering up like the Malik Nabers's, or he's a really good power slot, which is super common now, like your T. Higgins, that sort of player, just a bigger slot receiver. I think he's a really good matchup for that. And like Devon Witherspoon for the Seahawks was the fifth, sixth pick last year and played mostly in the slot and then had a lot of fantasy relevance. I think there's a really good chance that Arnold does something very similar, where in the right scheme, right, landing spot, of course, that if he goes inside, I think he could be really fantasy relevant, way more so than a normal top 20 pick at corner would be. So I think that's a sneaky, that's, he was towards the bottom of my list, just because I'm hesitant with the boundary corners, but he's one who, of those boundary corners, he could really shoot up a lot, I think. I think it's a really good value at the 6 DB.
Well, as thrilled as you would be if he played the slot, we are thrilled to announce our partnership with your one-stop shop for the best prices in the travel world, Expedia. So check out the link in the show description and head over to Expedia.com. Their spring sale can net you up to 25% off select hotels. And of course, they always find the best deals for you so you can just enjoy the ride or dynasty. Check out the link in the show description and get your next adventure planned today. What's not going to be adventure is Tripp's next pick at number 7.
Well, this is where it starts to get interesting for me. We're getting to a point now where I'd have to be in a deep league to even draft a defensive back. And so, you know, it's, you get to the point where, yeah, some of these guys, if one of these guys sneaks up into the third round, then I'm looking at him and I'm looking at, well, what is his landing spot? And going to be a strong determination on this. So I guess what I might should do is just kind of go down the rankings and say what I think the safest pick is, since it's pre-draft, and that would be Taylor Newbin, the safety out of Minnesota. He is a guy that, to me, could be fantasy, kind of like Trevon Merrig was a couple of years ago, where he's a good two-high guy, doesn't give you that much, not a big hitter, not a real aggressive player, not a ton of ball skills. And even though Merrig was the top safety in the class by many analysts' assumption, an eventual second-round pick, he's never really done much as an IDP asset. And I think that Newbin could go down the same path. But with the talk of, you know, finding a guy that's going to be drafted early that has a good chance to play, that's really about all good that I can say about him from an IDP standpoint. And after he comes off the board, we're getting him down into, for me, a level of player where we're more dart throws. And so really this would be about risk tolerance. If somebody happens to be drafting all this weekend ahead of the NFL draft for fantasy, then it's about what is your strategy and risk tolerance. Do you try to take a guy with a lot of upside that you can get on your roster that might be a fourth or fifth round pick and hope he hits? And if so, do you have enough roster depth to hold that player or not? And so, if you're taking Newbin this weekend, you have a good chance he's going to be drafted. You have to hope against hope, really, that he's drafted into a good spot, because I don't think he will. I think he fits as a too high guy in a softer defense. So not an enthusiastic take, but when you're talking about a guy who could be the first safety off the board on next Thursday, it's time to take him.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. I know PFF has him as easily their number one rated safety, that he fell to number 7. Joe, you seem to be on board with that.
Yeah, I really like Tyler Newbin. I think my confirm is Marcus Williams, just super solid player. I don't know if he ever gets that fantasy relevance. Alignment's going to be huge for him. It really depends on who he's paired with. It's one of those things where if he goes to Green Bay, which is my ideal spot for Jaden Hicks, Xavier McKinney is a great free safety, but also good strong or in the box safety. So if Hicks goes there, it's going to be pretty sure who's at what spot. But if Newbin goes there, both can go up and down. And then it's like, it's kind of gross, but I don't know. Newbin, I think, is going to be a really good NFL player, like Tripp was saying, but just the fantasy, I don't super know. Someone I would just, he's going to be on the field. His great IQ, fearless competitor with special teams experience. I think he's going to be on the field, which is a plus, but I just don't know where that alignment's going to end up.
Fair enough. Well, Joe, where are you going with the 8th pick?
I'm going to reach, but this is one of my favorite players on the board. Someone who is comped to one of my favorite players in the league, despite him being on the Titans. And that's Andrew Phillips from the Kentucky Wildcats. Roger McCreary is my comp. I think he's just a feisty. It's kind of an asshole playing nickel corner, honestly, just to be blunt. And I kind of love that for a slightly undersized nickel. One of my favorite players in the class. He's good tackler. He's gets a little over aggressive with it at times, but really good athlete. His jumps 42 inch vert and over 11 feet on the broad jump, which are crazy numbers while having a sub 4.5 40. He's smaller, but has decent length. So kind of evens out a little bit. Does have that scheme versatility, but do think he's going to be best in the slot. And I do project him as a slot, primarily slot player. One of those guys who top two corners, but then when you bring a third corner on, he drops into the slot. Biggest concern he is that he has 10 career pass breakups and no interceptions. It's not ideal to see, but I think the physical nature, he's great in the run game, great blitzing. I think he's someone who can really be in a corner. If you have cornerbacks, two cornerbacks, I think he's probably going to be a steal, especially he's going to end up top 75-ish picks, but I do think he's still going to go under the radar for fantasy leagues. And this is someone who, if you pick him in your last round, you have a starting corner, I think.
Man, this is a name I am not familiar with at all.
He's not in the top 100 consensus big board, but I have him 42 for NFL purposes. 44.
Very. But Trip, you know him. Anything about him?
No, he got me on this one too.
All right.
You're here, all of us clicking on the keyboard, just kind of look. Obviously. Yeah. Obviously, somebody's dug and found gold here. So
yeah, I'm impressed with the work.
Thank you. Yeah, he's nasty, just in a good way. Just such an asshole on the field. Well, I'm a Georgia fan loosely, and he just beat the crap out of receivers. And it's like, and he's 5'10", 190. He's just one of those guys. He's in your face all day, infectious player. It's like, love to see it from a DB.
And he's from Kentucky?
Yep.
Yep.
All right, making a note of Andrew Phillips.
And that is A-N-D-R-U, Drew Phillips.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. A little different.
I recognize Drew Phillips. I did see that name. Okay. I'm with you now. All right, Jameson, where are you going?
I guess I'm just going to keep sticking with the same area that I've stuck with the whole time, and I'll go with another first-round pick here, Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. First team all SEC, very small as far as weight, but you know, he's tall and he's very long and he's incredibly fast. He's got really good recovery speed as well. So if he goes up against, you know, the Cheetah or one of these guys, he can end up hanging with them. His most ideal spot would be somewhere in the cover three defense, you know, just kind of hanging in there. He's got great instincts. And I think the body type is enough to where he can add on some pounds. I don't think he's going to be 173, you know, soaking wet. But the only thing about him, really, that I've kind of had a problem with, he really struggles against the run. He doesn't put in as much effort as maybe some cornerbacks you'd like to see going after the run. But other than that, and obviously the weight issue there, I think he's obviously going to be a first round pick, and that's where I'm going to go. So Nate Wiggins will be the pick for me.
Now, Tripp, in this new NFL that seems to be getting a little bit lighter at wide receiver, does it just make sense that we get lighter at cornerback as well?
Well, I guess if Emmanuel Forbes is any indication, I suppose the answer is yes. The fact that they made a guy that weighed about $169 a first round, early first round, mid first round pick last year was a bit surprising to me. Now, I got a couple things. First of all, Clemson is in the ACC. And as a Clemson homer, I take offense to being associated with the SEC, even though I might be there next year or two. But nevertheless, slip of the tongue. Let's have a little fun with you. But so I've seen an awful lot of Nate Wiggins play, because I've watched pretty much every game that they play. And what Clemson does with their cornerbacks is they take often put them on an island, especially with that one guy. And whether it's, you know, they've had lots of guys like this, you know, AJ Terrell for the Falcons is a guy like that. Forgetting names here, but this guy, the Vikings, they, I think it's Andrew Booth was that guy. Yeah. And they put this guy out on an island and they just say, you're out there, bud. You got to run with that number one receiver. And it's amazing how they find guys that can do that. And it's just, it really prepares you for the NFL. It's just, you're out there, you're man on man, you're with the other team's best receiver. And it, it's just, it's something to watch. And so this guy, I'm surprised in the fantasy drafts that I participated in so far that Wiggins is so far after the other two corner, but the corners that you drafted, Arnold and Mitchell. It's just I've really been surprised by that because I don't see that big of a gap.
I have a question in there or comment. Wondering with like, I find linebackers who struggle in coverage are Alex Singleton, Alex Anzalone, Jack Campbell is my thing. I thought he was not a good cover man, but that almost increases their IDP value because they're making, they're getting catches in front of them and then making the tackle. Then with corners, when they struggle in the run game, we saw this with Emmanuel Forbes that the Eagles, the Cowboys just ran at him every single play. And Wiggins is someone who's more talented against the run and is more willing than Forbes was to make a play. If he's going to, but still is weak against it. So are we going to see his numbers increase a little bit? And then we saw it with Tyreek Stevenson last year, also who has the similar build, also is more aggressive on the outside, so we'll get targeted more. He was the number one outside corner for a long time. And last year, are we going to see something like that with Nate Wiggins, where he's going to get targeted more because he is prone to more penalties and weaker in the run game, but that leads to more opportunities for fantasy points?
Well, part of that question is, do you believe in the rookie corner rule, right? It's like, are rookies that often more targeted? And I think occasionally they are. And Tyreek Stevenson really is a good example because he was playing opposite Jalen Johnson, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. That's a guy that people are actively avoiding. And I don't think it's, you know, it's often an enormous difference, but when at corner, the margins are just so thin that it shows up. If you get, if you're Wiggins, you're out there, you make a couple INTs, all of a sudden you're on the radar as fantasy relevant guy because because somebody, he might be a guy that's, you know, that's, he's not going to be on an island probably. He's not going to be a top 10 pick. So he's not going to be out there on an island like he was at Clemson. So yeah, there's an opportunity. He steps into defense and he's the opposite off of a really good corner and does see more targets for that reason.
See a lot of mocks having him to Philadelphia and across from Darius Slay, Bradbury in the slot. I think that could be, then he'd probably get targeted a lot, comparatively at least.
Okay. I think there's needs help.
I think for some of these, especially these DBs later on, a lot of them play very physical. And a lot of stuff that comes up is just, you know, how many flags are they going to draw year one? And I think that's something you're definitely, some of these guys we're going to get, we might not get into all of them, but a lot of them play very physical, which is great, but in today's NFL where, you know, we can't touch anymore, it's going to be a flag. You know, that's something they get picked apart pretty easily when quarterbacks, you know, figure that one out.
And yet, as a Jets fan, they let Sauce play. Like, and I'm not complaining at all. It's beautiful to watch, but I'm always surprised at how they let him handle receivers.
Name value, baby.
He can body slam them, but the other ones can't. That's how it works.
Well, listen, I'm okay with that as long as they don't call it on him. Right. Trip, where are we going next with the number 10 pick?
Number 10. I'm starting to get interested now. Let's see where I want to go with this one. I kind of don't want to go boring again, so I'm just going to pick something else.
Make it spicy.
That's right. That's right. I'll pick a James Williams from University of Miami, the guy who's a hybrid linebacker, according to some draft profiles. This guy is a good athlete, was a five-star recruit coming out of high school, considered a top 15 overall national player. Never really developed into, obviously, that caliber player at the University of Miami, but it has the athletic profile to do something. And what's interesting about him from a fantasy standpoint is they're talking about what is his position. And I mean, the best case scenario is he fits some kind of like a J-Ron Curse type of a role and fits that way. So like if the Commanders were to draft him, I mean, he would be probably behind Jeremy Chinn in that role to start, but it's, you know, I don't know how early he goes. I mean, I think some people think he's a third round pick, and I don't really understand how a guy that doesn't even have a position and certainly no immediate future as a full-time player can go that early. I could be wrong, but nevertheless, he has enough upside that I'm interested to see how he fits. We always, for many years, like that cheat code, a guy that plays linebacker and has a safety designation. So color me interested.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just going back through some drafts and I saw the name Mark Barron, who was one of those guys who would slide up back in the day. Good cheat code. I like that one. Joe, pick 11.
Oh, my last pick. I have a few names here. A lot of ones in the similar mold of Drew Phillips. This is a tough one. There's a lot of guys very similar. I will go. How off board do I want to go here? I'll go with someone who's probably going to get drafted pretty highly, and that is Georgia's Javon Bullard. Another guy who kind of, like Cooper DeJean, doesn't have a position locked in at the NFL. I think he does make the most sense as a slot corner, so also like Drew Phillips. But he played the star role at Georgia for the last 2 years prior. Tyke Smith took that over. Also a draft prospect, but which is basically a nickel hybrid safety linebacker blitzer. It's a weird role in the Georgia Bama defenses, but if you play college fantasy, that's a way to go. That's a great position to have. But he's another one of those guys who will just hit you in the mouth, infectious leader, infectious play style. Even though he's smaller with less than ideal length, he is just a gnat and is super annoying and will piss receivers off. I think he's a really good blitzer and really takes on blocks well, which does present good potential in the slot role. I think a team like the Rams would really love him. Just he's their free safety on base formations, then drop him into the slot when you bring out another corner or another receiver comes out for the offense. He's will miss some tackles, but like we talked about with Cole Bishop, it's more of a he's trying to take you out then, and so he just kind of misses. So it's a little bit more coaching. I think that can really get taken out of him. Yeah, just super high IQ, another special teams star. So someone who I do think does get drafted in the second round as well.
And Tripp, do we see him coming in as a safety or as a cornerback?
No, I think he's a nickel. I think, like Joe said, he makes sense in a star role in a too high system. I think it's important that we note for folks that might be listening to this that the idea of slot, I think, still evokes a little 5'9" jitterbug type of a player who's designed to be a man coverage in against Hunter Renfro or Wes Welker. And that really isn't how the NFL functions anymore. There's just not that much man coverage. There's not that many players that are like that. The nickel role in a lot of these systems, the too high role, actually is interesting in that they might have as much time near the line of scrimmage as either the safeties, because if either the safeties are back a lot, then the nickel is the one that has to come in and fill and run defense. So the safeties are back. The nickel doesn't have the benefit of playing quite so centered to the field, so the run has to flow to his direction for him to really participate as an IDP asset, but it does happen. And like Joe was saying, there's a blitzing opportunity there. It sometimes it's easier for the nickels to blitz off the edge. Not everybody has the skill of Jamal Adams to blitz in the box, and that's a learned skill that comes through a lot of reps. And so the nickel rule, I like Dalton Bullard. He's on my list here too. I contemplated that in my last pick as well. So I think that's an interesting pick, a guy that's going to go early enough that you know he's going to come in and play right away. I don't know if it'd be full time, but he at least comes in to get some snaps. You see how he's doing, and you get a read as to whether or not he's going to be useful.
He's a rare true freshman. I don't know. I think he started 2 games as a true freshman at Georgia, but played in every game, which you do not see from those SEC powers very often.
Mm-hmm. Especially Georgia, which puts their defense into the NFL every year.
Yep.
Yeah. Going to the Eagles in the second round.
Jameson, you are up with the final pick.
I'll get a little goofy here. So I'll go to the Big Ten. I'm not going to screw that one up with the slip up with the SEC and the ACC. That's my fault. I'm glad you caught that because that's terrible. But
it's all good, bud.
I'm going to go to Michigan. I'm going to go Mike Sanristil, third in the FBS last year, 6 interceptions with 2 returned for touchdowns. I think he fits nicely as a nickel corner in the NFL. He's a former receiver, so, you know, catching the ball, interceptions, turnovers, that sort of thing. He's got good hands for it. Good ball skills. He's also really good against the run. The only thing about him is just he lacks experience just because he's converting over from receiver you know, to the probably the nickel slot in the NFL. And then he can kind of get manipulated a little bit with, you know, jukes, you know, head movement, stuff like that, as far as wide receivers go. But I like him a lot. I think the former wide receiver thing kind of makes it exciting just because, you know, especially for IDP purposes, wanting to get turnovers and stuff. This is kind of where I'm going to go here with him.
I love
good
pick.
Good selection. What do you like about that, Joe?
It's he, and similar to like Tyrone Tracy, the Purdue running back, both are former receivers and are 24, but doesn't really matter since they played this position for a year or two. And I don't know, Sanders still has insanely high IQ. I think just being that time on offense, he knows what's happening from the offensive side. I think, yeah, he's another one of those guys who's just so annoying to play, and I would hate to play if I was a receiver, even though he's smaller and elite athlete. It's I really love that pick. Really strongly debated him over Bullard.
Well, we got to talk about both of them, so that was worth it. Well, listen, we've gone through 12, but is there anybody left who we want to give shout-outs to? Trip, do you have anybody who's the best of the rest?
Oh, I could go another round, but I'll try not to be so long-winded. So I don't know if it's good that I talk fast or if I just fit more words in. So anyway, the guy that I'm interested in to see how he comes out on draft day is Trey Taylor, the safety from Air Force.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy is, you know, 6'2", 200. He tested well at the combine. I don't know if that was expected he would do as well as he did, or, you know, the numbers he had. And so high IQ, high character type player. And he has a, you just don't expect an NFL body and to come out of Air Force ready to go. But this is a guy who could be that. And so watching him to see how highly he's drafted, because he fits, you know, there's at least 6 or 8 guys who are the 6'2", 200 decent athletes in this class with a lot of upside that they could go anywhere, right? They could go 6th, 7th round and you're like, yeah, you know, like JL Skinner last year, who never saw the field. Or they could be a guy that's, you know, gets a 4th round pick and could be, or a 5th round pick. And it's like Jordan Fuller, where he comes out of camp and is ready play right away and it's on the field playing full time. So there's like literally half a dozen of those guys, and Trey Taylor's probably the top of the list for me on that.
Agreed. Anybody and else?
Ed Reed's nephew.
Oh, is it Ed Reed's nephew?
Yep. Jaquan Jackson, the Tulane receiver, is his cousin.
Very nice. Joe, do you have anybody?
I have a few more. Little deeper cuts for the box safety role. Bo Brady, the box safety out of Maryland, I like a lot. I think he's lower on consensus boards, but another one of those guys just run and hit safeties, a little limited athletically, but I liked his film a lot. Really interesting thing with him is when they played Ohio State, he manned up Marvin Harrison for a little bit and did not get obliterated. He lost, but he fought more than most Big Ten corners did, and coverage isn't really his game, so that was something to see, just the willingness, the fight the dog in him, as the kids say these days. But someone who I like, him, developmental, put him on your taxi squad, see what happens. Then Ketan Oladapo from Oregon State, older big safety. I think he's 6'4", 220, something like that. Another knock your head off guy. Then there's a couple other slot corners, your Ennis Rakestraw Jr. from Mizzou and Max Melton from Rutgers. Two opposite ends of the athletic scale, but similar size, feisty players. Both could be top 40 picks.
Jameson, anybody for you?
I got a couple here. TJ James out of Auburn. I think he could, probably benefit from being an inside corner, but, you know, he does very well against man versus zone defense. Another guy who did really good against Marvin Harrison Jr. was Cam Hart out of Notre Dame, played his best game against him.
Love Cam
Hart. So those are a couple guys that I think I'll go to. There's a lot of them we didn't get it into. Max Melton, I know, was talked about. Kalen King out of Penn State, another one of those special athletes that somehow don't have the production to go with it. But we talk about that every week here on the pod about the Penn State guys. But just couple of those guys.
Trip, any last names?
Tyler Owens is a guy that I'm watching. Didn't actually play a lot, but another 6'2", 200 guy that, you know, had his moments in the limited playing time they had. So he's a guy that I'm watching. Dominique Hampton is a big size safety out of Auburn, which, you know, again, worth watching. Probably more of a 7th round pick, a guy that you would want to watch in your waiver wire. But, you know, I don't hate that name as far as keeping track of things. And I like the Olatabo call. That guy's a guy that played rugby for several years and then is switching over to football late. And you all mentioned about position switch. Well, here's a sports switch. And I kind of have a soft spot in my heart for these guys. I think that it's probably untapped upside when those guys have that happen. It's like you got to be patient with them. You got to have the roster space for them to come in on, come on in and develop. But if you do, then you know that guy's a guy. I think he has some upside. So, yeah, so I agree with a lot of the names have been said. I think y'all are really, really sharp and on top of it. So good stuff here tonight. Mm.
Also, right. Dadrion Taylor Demerson, teammate of Tyler Owens, more of a space player. That's a little inside joke if you watch Tyler Owens the combine. But
Oh, that's Tyler Owens.
That's Tyler Owens.
Space also doesn't exist.
Yes,
that guy who also set the like combine like broad jump record.
Yeah.
Well, they say you don't want your corners to be too bright. Right, you just want them to focus on one thing, and astronomy isn't what you want them focused on.
Yeah. Taylor Demerson's an interesting player, though, someone who I've not seen a lot of film on yet, but super interesting space player.
Agreed.
Anyone else, gentlemen?
Tyke Smith from Georgia, like I said, also a star. He took over the star role from Javon Bullard this year. He's just a little bigger, could be similar.
We've completely left.
From Utah, if he plays safety and not running back?
We've completely left out the free safeties, and maybe rightfully so. Who really wants, you know, a skinny little free safety to spend his whole life 25 yards downfield? But we got three of them here that I think could draft in the first four or five rounds. It's Cameron Kitchens from Miami, Caden Bullock from Southern Cal, and Jalen Simpson. I forget where he's from. He's from Auburn. Where's Dominic Hampton from? I forget.
Mississippi State.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. These starting names are
Washington.
This will be fun. Washington. That's right. Yeah. Bill Washington. Yeah. So a lot of deep names, a lot of guys to keep up with, which is fun. That's why the draft is so much fun. It's like, you know, my wife gets, how can you sit there and watch it on the Saturday when they just have ads every 30 seconds? Like, I don't know. It's fun to see how it comes out. So
it's where the dreams happen, right?
That's right.
Right, hope springs eternal when it comes to the draft. Every team can get to the Super Bowl, and nobody's going to be picking first the next year unless you're a Jets fan, and it's me. Well, gentlemen, we're not just a bunch of pretty faces here at IDP Plus. We have an entire suite of tools and rankings for both offense and defense. Plus, we have rookie rankings, injury trackers, snap tools, premium articles, and more. Right now, get your first month for just $1 with the promo code MOCKDRAFT. So head over to idpguys.org after the show to get ahead of your lazy league mates and start your march towards fantasy football greatness today with the code MOCKDRAFT. Link and details are in the show description. Gentlemen, it is time for tags where we share any final thoughts and let everyone know where they can find us. Trip.
Well, gentlemen, I appreciate you having me on. I really enjoyed talking football with you. I've been impressed with your knowledge and depth, and you know, I will have to look up some Drew Phillips, figure that one out. So that's good stuff. You know, I enjoyed the contrarian tapes. I enjoyed some of the contrarian tapes of the cornerbacks and talking some nickels and some alignment. It's been awesome, so that's what I kind of do at Football Guys. Is I write a column called Reading the Defense, and that's during the season. During the offseason, I write a column called Reading the New Defense, which digs into what new defensive coordinators might do in the coming season, which is an awful lot of projection, but it's fun to try. Those columns will be coming out shortly after the draft once we know where the players fit. So I invite everybody to come to footballguys.com, read up, and follow me at Dynasty Trip on the app formerly known as Twitter.
All right. Thank you. Jameson.
I'm over on the Twitter machine at Jameson Rules, just like you can see right there. I'll get that right eventually. But I appreciate you guys having me on. I know I was a little contrarian tonight and screwing up SEC and ACC. I'll be better. I promise. I know better. But no, I'm over on the Twitter machine. I'll be live tweeting the NFL draft, probably screaming my head off like normal. But I appreciate you guys having me on. It's been a lot of fun. Love learning all this new stuff. And Trip, it's been great meeting you. You've been awesome. And it's been a blast being on here.
All right. Joseph.
You can find me on Twitter at JoeLo63. Almost. There we go. I probably won't ever get it. But you can find me there. writing about fantasy. I will have division preview coming out. I think I'm going to do a 2-round mock draft or at least soon. It'll be better for you this time, JJ, than last
Thank
time.
You.
Though you weren't a fan. You're welcome. Yeah, you can also find me on the IDP Plus Mailbag Show Tuesdays at 2 Eastern with my good friend Justin Fry. You can find at JFryDP on the Twitter machine. Yeah, we have a promo going through IDP Plus. You can find that on idpguys.org or on their pinned tweet on X. If you submit a question to the mailbag through the link on the website, you are entered for a chance to win a signed Nico Collins or Antoine Winfield Jr. jersey. I think the winner of that will be announced on the 30th, so a week and a half from now. And yeah, thank you, JJ, for hosting. Jameson for joining in. And Trip, great to have you on.
Well, I'm at JJ Wenner on Twitter. Thank you, Trip. Trip and I did a podcast with Gary Van Dyke for about a year. It was some of the best times I had. I love talking to Trip. He teaches me something new every time. So head over to Football Guys. Make sure you're following his writing. One of the brightest minds when it comes to IDP and just fantasy and how to play fantasy in general. Thank you, Joe and Jameson, for all of your hard work on this episode. You make my job so easy, so thank you. Thank you to Gary and Foxworth for helping produce the pod, doing all the graphics. And lastly, from all of us to all of you, be safe, be well, and as always, boat drinks, my friends, boat drinks.